I'm just going to read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through to 29. So it's Colossians chapter 1, 24 to 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Amen. Well, tonight we're looking at, which is a very important subject and central to the Christian faith. We're talking about Christ in us. Now, I've just had an example of this in the sense that before the service, I was really nervous, which is unusual. I didn't feel I was prepared, which I am. And I'm thinking, what's going on? But then as we prayed, I got the contrast between doing it on my own strength and doing it in God's strength. Having that indwelling Christ within you. And the difference you feel inside, well, you can't explain. You know the difference because you've experienced it yourself. But one thing I find when you're preaching, quite often, God gives you an example of what you're preaching on. And I always think, if he gives you a difficult subject to preach on, I think, oh no, you know, you're going to end up having an example of something. But it's got to be done. You've got to be obedient. So, I'm looking at Colossians. Now, if you remember, Paul, he knew that the church in Colossae was under great outside pressures, influences that were trying to break into the church. Paul did call them traditions. There is much debate amongst the scholars as to what it actually meant, but some have suggested maybe that there was quite a large Jewish community in Colossae, and as we've known from previous places, the Jews tried to put a lot of pressure on them to do it their way. But at the end of the day, false doctrine was trying to creep into the congregation. But Paul, he was stuck in prison. He couldn't do a right lot. But Epaphras, who was from Colossae, who has been accredited with forming the church at Colossae, they think has gone to Rome to see Paul and report what's going on in the church. Of course, as we read, we find that the church is going well. But a problem's occurred that I think Epaphras maybe just didn't have the experience to deal with. So he's gone to seek Paul for help. So this letter is Paul's response to that. So as we go through it, just remember that he's addressing a certain situation. Right, so tonight we're looking at verses 24 to 29 about the mystery that has been hidden. Now the whole section, it sort of hinges on verse 27. Paul says, the revelation of the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, which is verse 26, has now been revealed. What is that mystery? Well, verse 27 goes on to tell us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, 172 times Paul uses the term Christ in you or a similar term. And I've always been taught that the more times it's in the Bible, the more important it is. So I think 172 times is pretty important. It's a definition Paul uses of a Christian. He uses this picture over and over again. But Paul describes his own life in Christ in Galatians 2:20. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's quite a bold statement he's making there, basically saying he has died and Christ has risen within him. I know I aim for that. I fall way short, I must admit. I admit it. The old self still keeps, as Alan was saying, sin's always knocking at the door, isn't he? You know, every time you open the door, it's still there, even though you shut the door. So we've got to, keep going. Ephesians 3:17 to 19 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The mysterious secret that has even been hidden from angels, they suggest, which men tried to find out about time and time again, well, it's finally been revealed. That mystery is Christ. But more, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let's look at verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul's making two quite shocking statements if you look at it. I rejoice in my suffering. It sounds to us, that sounds a bit of a way out statement, isn't it? I don't know whether I'd rejoice in my suffering. But it depends what type of suffering and what it's for. To know joy in suffering is not a state of mind. It's not like you're tough and you think, I can get through this. Neither are we masochists. It isn't as if we enjoy pain. It's not even that famous British stiff upper lip that we're supposed to have. But notice, it's not that he enjoys suffering. He rejoices in suffering. But suffering can only mean something if it brings you closer to God. To in a deeper relationship with Christ. Christ lives in the church, in the fellowship of his followers, us. His body, he makes our suffering his own. As we suffer for the gospel, we make his suffering our own. And at the end of the day, Paul is locked up because of his faith. He's suffering because of his faith. That type of suffering, we can grow from. We can get stronger from. But he does go on to say, what is lacking in Christ's affliction? It has nothing to do with the limitations of the cross, because the cross has no limitations. And he never uses the word affliction to designate the crucifixion. But the death of Christ for our redemption was complete. It didn't need anything adding to. We do not suffer as a repetition of Calvary, but as an extension of it. As it says, we are called to pick up our cross daily. So the death, it's an expression of Christ's life, which, like our Master, is a cross life. So that's what we are called to do as Christians. 25. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. But notice, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God. Paul was truly called of God on the road to Damascus. But anyone who's thinking of becoming a minister for God must make sure it is a calling from God. That it's not just our own desires. I know me personally, I don't think I could ever become a minister. I don't think I'm equipped for it. But if God did ever call me into that position, he would equip me for it. That's the thing. It would be him calling me. Then I would know that he would equip me. Paul goes on to say, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Paul was given the job of being a minister for their sake. So any minister that is given the job, it's for our sake. So he can teach us. He can minister over the flock. Be our shepherd, really. The mystery, now this is, we're getting to the crux of the passage now. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Now some do say that from ages and generations could relate to heavenly bodies. People have different views on what it actually means. But to me, it suggests from past, from ages past, to generations past, up to this time it has been hidden. Now Paul believed that in every dealing with man, God had been working on a deeper plan. We have the hindsight of looking through the Bible and we know he was working on a deeper plan. But that can only be brought to light by the illumination of the Spirit. As Christians worldwide know, when the Spirit comes to live within us, you see things differently. I remember, you know, looking at the trees and the animals differently, at life differently. It's as if the fog has been lifted, like we've had today. It says, some say that ages and from generations refers to the heavenly horse. It might well be, but it also refers to past generations. It wasn't until the day of Pentecost that the mystery to which he was referring to was revealed. Christ's Spirit living within us, becoming part of us, have been there to illuminate the true message of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 16 to 13, Paul speaks of a similar message. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. We are coming to nothing. But we speak with wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor of entering into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm just going to give you a quote now from the preacher's commentary, which is entitled, Our Share in the Mystery. And we are the recipients, Christ dwells in us. The clue to the whole Christian experience, the core of the gospel, is that Christ, by whom and through whom all things were created, who is before all things and in all things, in whom God was pleased for all his fullness to dwell, the firstborn over all creation, the image of the invisible God. This Christ, who has primacy over all things, in whom all things hold together, who is the head of the church, this Christ who will stand at the end of time and be the final judge and triumphal Lord lives in us by the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, it's quite amazing that God would come and live within us to help us, to make us whole. But that's what he's done. Verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there we have it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the Lord of creation, who made everything, may live in us. His dwelling in us is the hope of glory. When the Spirit comes to live within us, we have a new relationship with God. It is saying that God willed the mystery be known among the Gentiles. Well, we're Gentiles. It was not by accident. It was not some afterthought. But by the will of God. He intended this to happen right from the very beginning. I know before I was a Christian, the thought of Jesus coming to live within me was quite scary. What's going to happen? Does he take control? How does it affect you? But when he does, you realize it's for your benefit. A lot of the things we do as Christians, we couldn't do in our own strength. It has to be in the strength of God, in Jesus. So this mystery that the world can't see has been given to us. Quite a wonderful thing, really. Verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So, we are not only to receive this mystery, we are to preach it as well. Him we preach. We're to warn everybody about this so that they can be presented to God perfect in Christ Jesus. Every time you speak to someone, doesn't matter whether it's just a neighbour, a friend, a relative, whether you're out street preaching or stood here, you're telling people that Christ lives within us. Now then, we can say sometimes, we can say we may be too old and tired to preach the word of God. But there's lots of different ways of preaching the word of God. But when this word, this mystery has been discovered, we want to tell everyone. I'm sure we've all come across new Christians who are so on fire. They can be quite annoyed sometimes, can't they? But we were just the same. And that's the thing. I think it reminds us of how we were. And I mean, obviously we've had our own new Christian in the church, and she's just so bubbly, and it's a pleasure. I'm not saying you were annoying, by the way. Now then, there's a story of a woman in Africa who had discovered the secret, Christ living within her. Overwhelmed with gratitude, she just wanted to do something for Jesus. The only trouble was, she was blind, and she was in her 70s. She was also uneducated. So on the surface, you think, well, you know, it's going to be difficult for her to preach. So one day, she went to the local missionary. She took her old French Bible that she had and asked the missionary to underline John 3:16 in red. Now the missionary, of course, he got his interest up. He thought, what's she up to? But she took that Bible and she sat in front of a school, a boys' school. Now this is supposed to be a true story. And when they came out at the end of the day, she would call one over. I said, come here please, come here. I said, do you know French? Of course, proudly they would say, yes we do. I said, could you please read this passage to me? The one underlined in red. After reading to her, she would ask, do you know what it means? No, they'd say, we don't. So she would then tell them the story of Jesus. Believe it or not, 24 young men became pastors due to her work. If someone on the surface would appear not to be able to do a right lot, but she had a big impact. So don't let your age, your health, or anything else stop you from spreading the gospel. Verse 29, to this end I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now that's from the New King James Version. I'm just going to read you the same from the New English Bible. To this end I am toiling strenuously with all the energy and power of Christ at work in me. Sometimes I find other Bibles just seem to catch the essence of it. The authorized version, it's there, but because of the language, you don't always grasp it, should I say. I know Sue and I one night I sat there with six Bibles and looking at all the different versions and comparing them, and by the end we got just by reading the different versions, we actually got the gist of what was being said. So this great mystery, it dumbfounds the world. The darkness cannot understand it. Religion doesn't understand it. But it is the thing that makes Christianity different. It sets us apart from others. They can't understand that God can come and live in a human body. But to us, that is the hope of glory. The Spirit illuminates the darkness and turns it into light. It turns what is hidden into what can be seen. Thanks be to God for that. Thank you for listening.